Amen, amen. God bless you for giving today. Once again, let me just wish all of our mothers and grandmothers and aunties and just everyone who is so special to each of us a happy Mother's Day. And every lady in the room, you make this day beautiful. And while our efforts to honor you may be feeble, I hope you know that we can't make it without you. That's how special you are. Can we just one more time give all of the ladies a hand? Thank you, thank you. I know ladies are celebrating one another and men are celebrating. And these days are always interesting to teach, and I always feel inadequate to try to speak to ladies. One time in Texas, we started the church doing a series to men every June. At some point I may bring it back here because I love to speak to men and call men to their potential. But we always did a series to men in the month of June, and the ladies kept clamoring, when are you going to do a series for us? And I'm like, I know better than that. But I tried to do it one time in the month of May, spoke every week to ladies, and I'm telling you what, it was one of the greatest challenges of my life. I feel inadequate to try to speak to women because they are amazing, amazing, just the incredible invention of God, so complex, so unique, so challenging in trying to understand and all of that, but incredibly beautiful. I want to teach from Matthew chapter 15 today, and I know you probably have a lunch reservation or a grill that's waiting to be lit in your honor. Maybe your kids are coming to spend the afternoon with you, so I just need a few moments with you today. But Matthew chapter 15, beginning at verse 21, Matthew 15 and 21, then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely." Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then the disciples urged him to send her away. "Tell her to go away," they said. "She is bothering us with all her begging." Then Jesus said to the woman, "I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel." But she came and worshiped him, pleading again, "Lord, help me." Jesus responded, "It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." She replied, that's true. But even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table." "Dear woman," Jesus said to her, "your faith is great. Your request is granted." And her daughter was instantly healed. I can't read that story. I've preached from it many, many times, different aspects and angles and different looks at this story. But it's impossible for me to read this story and not see and not be aware of the pressures that are on a mom today. They are greater than ever. Honestly, being a mom has to be the toughest job in the world. I mean, just think of what is expected of every lady, of every mother in this success-driven society. Not to mention the post-pandemic craziness that you are trying to navigate. I mean, moms today, women today, they are expected to have a successful career. They are expected to keep the house spotless, to raise perfect children, to be a great cook, to look like a model, to be a charming hostess and a wonderful conversationalist. And now, post-pandemic, they are a home school teacher, principal, and lunch lady. It's impossible for women to keep up with all that is expected of them. And yet, I read where the University of Michigan conducted a nationwide survey asking thousands of girls between the ages of 11 and 18 what they would like to be in their adult life. A surprising 80% of those young girls between 11 and 18 expressed a desire to be like their mothers. As stressed as you feel, as overwhelmed as you feel, as short as you feel like you sound sometimes, those young ones still want to be just like you. Just a side note, motherhood is so beautiful that men are claiming that they, well, I'm going to leave that alone. Message for another time. I want to fight for real moms. You're not a birthing person. You're a mother. You're a mother. And I want to fight for real moms. I came across the strange story of Peter Richley. The year was 1820, and Peter Richley was a grateful man. He had survived one of the strangest and most harrowing events known to mankind. The ship which he had been traveling on sank. He was rescued. And yet, by some strange twist of circumstance, the rescuing ship sank also. He was rescued again, but the third ship sank likewise. He was rescued for a third time, and you probably won't believe it, but his fourth ship of passage soon sank. And unbelievably, he was rescued for a fourth time. But guess what? The fifth ship sank as well. It would have been laughable had it not been so serious. And yet on the high seas where he floated, he had this serene confidence that somehow God did not want him to die. And sure enough, as if on cue, another ship came by and answered his call for help. It was the ocean liner, the City of Leeds, named after its British city of origin. It was bound from England to Australia and traveled the same sea lane as Peter Richley's downed ships. The crew of the City of Leeds hoisted Peter aboard. They provided dry clothing. The ship's doctor gave him a cursory exam, pronounced him fit, if you can believe that. And then the ship's doctor asked Peter an unusual favor. He said, "There's a lady on board who booked passage to Australia. She's looking for her son who disappeared years ago. She's dying, and she's asking to see her son. She knows everyone on board, and since you're the only newcomer, would you pretend to be her son?" Peter agreed. After all, his life had now been saved for a fifth time. So he followed the doctor below deck and entered into a cabin. And there on a small bed lay a frail woman with silvered hair. She was obviously suffering from a very high fever, and deliriously she was crying out, "Please, God, let me see my son before I die. I must see my son." The ship's doctor gently pushed the young man toward the bed. Soon, however, Peter richly began sobbing. For lying there on that bed was the reason he couldn't seem to die. He was the lifeline that had kept him from drowning 5 different times. Lying on that bed was none other than Sarah Richly, who had prayed for 10 years to be reconciled to her son, Peter. The ship's doctor stood in amazement as the young man fell down by the bed and embraced the sick woman. "I'm here, Mom. I'm here. It's me." Within days, the fever had subsided, and his mother awakened to find an answered prayer seated on the edge of her bed. What is that, Pastor Darrell? That is the faith of a mother. That is the love of a mother. Have you ever known a person whose character could be summed up in 4 words? That's what Jesus said about this woman in verse 28. He said to this Gentile mother, "Your faith is great." I mean, on some level, she's just a woman, a regular mom. She's this Gentile woman, presumably married. She has at least one child, but really, that's all we know about her. And this is no slight, and this is certainly no shade, but she's just a normal woman, like so many who are in this room. As far as I know, there's no one famous in the room. There's no one who is heiress to this or to that. No princess in the room. Just regular folk in the room. And yet, this woman whose name we do not even know, all we know about her is that in this single encounter with Jesus, he says to her, "Your faith is great." Only 4 words, but those 4 words were enough to enshrine her as one of the greatest mothers of all time. Those 4 words tell us everything we need to know. Whether we ever know her name, whether we ever know what kind of house she kept, whether we ever know if her teenager stayed in line all the way through the tumultuous teens, whether we ever know anything about her marriage, whether we ever know anything about the life that she lived, we know all that we need to know by how Jesus described her. You have great faith. Your faith is great. And we can certainly trust these words because they were spoken by Jesus. And Jesus is an expert on faith. He knows faith. The Bible tells us that he searched for faith. Like a gem collector, he searches for fine jewels. And when he found it, he was filled with joy. He didn't always say that about his disciples. He didn't find faith in his disciples all the time. In fact, not once did he say to Peter, John, or James that their faith was great, but he said it to this nameless mother who was outside of the house of Israel. That's interesting to me. It's fascinating to me. I'm curious why and what this woman did to deserve such praise from God. I've got 3 things I want to tell you about this woman, and then we can get to that grill or that reservation or the rest of your day. But here's something you need to know. This woman of great faith, she crossed barriers. She crossed barriers. She was a woman. First of all, in Bible times, that was a whole different deal. It was no feminist movement. There were no equal rights, if you will. She was gonna stay silent and remain in her place. So she is a woman who is coming in a strong way, coming in a forceful way, coming in a determined way into the presence of the Lord. And then she is a Gentile. And I don't have time today to teach the difference in Israel and the Gentile, but there was an entire racial thing that was going on. Here is this mother who in her time of need was prepared to cross any obstacle to get to Jesus for help. Can I tell you that faith still requires that we make the effort to cross whatever barrier is in our way, anything that is trying to stop us or keep us from getting what we need from the Lord? I have to cross the barrier. You have to cross the barrier. Every woman in this room has to cross the barrier in order to get what she wants from God. What are those barriers? I think one of them is time. We're all out of it. In fact, we're doing more and accomplishing less. Too often we are too busy with the things of earth to pay attention to the spiritual. We're overwhelmed. We're full of anxiety. And then there's the issue of trusting Jesus with whatever it is that is overwhelming us. We may look at this woman and say, hey, come try all of that in 2022. Come and carry all that's on my plate. Come and juggle everything that I'm trying to juggle and keep in the air everything that I am trying to keep in the air. We struggle with the barrier of time. What about culture? Culture is another barrier that we have to deal with. I mean, I wonder, does God really understand the problems that she is facing? I think sometimes that no one understands and God doesn't understand the struggles that we're having in this modern world, in this politically correct society. I mean, the culture war, everything that we're battling right now, everything that's going on, we have to push past those things in order to get into the presence of Jesus and get what it is that we need. And there is the barrier of pride. It's perhaps the greatest barrier of all. It's not the pride that has you spit-shining your kids or wanting fresh paint in the kitchen. Those are good things. But many today are like the person who is drowning but refuses help, or even fights the rescuer that God sends into your life. Let me encourage you, women. Let me encourage you, everyone hearing this word today. Don't let pride keep you from getting the help that you need in your life. And if time isn't a strong enough barrier, and if culture isn't a difficult enough barrier, and pride isn't enough to keep us out, then there is doubt. We doubt, we struggle to believe that any of this is even possible. So what is it that drives a mother to cross these barriers and get to Jesus? First of all, it's desperation. It's desperation. Desperation is what the women in this room do so very well. You know how to get what you want. You know how to make a fantastic meal on just a few ingredients. You know how to make it happen with the fewest of resources and the smallest of budget. It is desperation. This woman knew, she knew that she wasn't going to do it all by herself. She had tried every other way and looked at every other means available, but all of that had failed. And now she was going to seek help from Jesus, regardless of the cost. There's desperation, and then there's love. It was love for her child. I know they're on your nerves. I know they're talking back younger and younger, Mom. I know they're testing you, but you love them. You love them. Love, love made her accept Jesus' silence and yet still appeal to him. Love, love made this woman with great faith suffer the rebuff of the disciples who were dismissing her. I need some women in this room right now just to look at somebody and tell them, you can't dismiss me. I won't be dismissed. I won't be canceled in my own house. My desperation and my love is going to get me what I want for my family. Here's the second thing this woman did. She crossed barriers, number one. Number two, she persisted. She persisted. This mother refused to be put off or intimidated. She refused. She refused. She did not care about criticism. She was not bothered by anyone's silence. She refused to quit. Oh, I wish I could teach on Mother's Day to some ladies in this room that had a spirit of persistence, that just refused to quit, that just refused to give up, that refused to let go or to throw in the towel. Just like PK said a few moments ago, I know your children may not be where you want them to be spiritually, but don't give up. It's going to be your persistence. It's going to be your tenacity. It's going to be that I refuse to give up attitude that is going to win the day and that is going to win their heart. This mother refused to be silenced. She refused to quit. What is it that's intimidating her? Well, there are some obvious things. As I just need another moment, it's obvious that she could have easily been intimidated by Jesus' silence. The Bible said that he did not answer a word. He did not reply to her at all. Imagine pushing all of your chips into the middle of the table. Imagine laying it all on the line, bearing your soul in the presence of Jesus, whom you've heard does miracles and makes the blood. Imagine laying it all out there for him, and he does not even respond. Probably where some of you feel like you're living right now. I've prayed about this, but I'm getting no answer. I've cried over this, but nothing is happening. I've written this down. I've asked him to move, but I'm not hearing a response. But she didn't assume it was indifference. She reached behind his silence and spoke to the heart of God. I need to tell some people in this room, you're giving up too easy. Some things have to be reached for. Some things have to be stretched to get. There's some things you put up on the top shelf that you got to find a stool. You almost got to climb up onto a counter to reach all the way back to where that is. There may be some things
things in the society where we give everybody a trophy and we tell everybody on TV that they're the next rock star when they can't even carry a tune in the bucket. Maybe we've demanded that things be so simple, and we've demanded that things be so easy, and we don't realize that sometimes we have to fight for our faith. Sometimes you have to reach. Sometimes you have to stretch. Sometimes you're up in the middle of the night. Sometimes you're up in the wee hours of a morning. Sometimes you're pushing food away in fasting. Sometimes there are groanings and a travail because you know there is a yoke that needs to be broken. But I refuse to be intimidated when I know it's going to take a miracle. She refused to be intimidated by the disciples' rebuke. She just went over their heads. She just went around them. Because believe it or not, Mr. Disciple, I wasn't asking you anyway. I was talking to him. Your opinion is none of my business. The fact that I'm bothering you is of no concern to me. I'm talking to him. Some of you need to make sure that you're talking to the right one. Make sure you're listening to the right one. There have been some disciple along the way that has intimidated us and kept us from believing like we need to believe. I feel like I could preach today, but I got to get you out of here on Mother's Day. But let me tell you one other thing that she may have been intimidated by, and that was Jesus' behavior. Because when he did respond to her, what he said, in effect, was, "I'm sorry, ma'am, but you don't belong to the right group. You have no claim on me." She doesn't try to analyze his response. She simply refused to be put off by it. She let her need speak for itself. She fell at his feet and cried, "Help me, sir. Help me, Jesus." That is the essence of all great faith. It is stretching your hand to Jesus and refusing to take no for an answer. Are there any mothers hearing this word today? Are there any women hearing this word today? I love what Washington Irving said. The love of a mother is never exhausted. It never changes. It never tires. It endures through all, in good repute, in bad repute, in the face of the world's condemnation, a mother's love still lives on. Finally, number three, she made no claim. So she crossed barriers and she persisted. And then thirdly, she made no claim on Jesus. What does that mean? She literally relied on the grace of Jesus. There was no arrogance. It was all humility. She didn't approach him from this standpoint of, "Let me tell you who I am, sir. Let me tell you why I deserve this. Let me tell you why this is so important to me. Let me tell you who I know. Let me tell you where I went to school. Let me tell you how much money I make. Let me tell you who I am." She made no claim, no assumption of being deserving. And when Jesus told her that it didn't seem right to take bread from the children of Israel and throw it to the dogs, literally insults her. I know that doesn't make sense. But remember, Jesus is not just talking to this woman. He's talking to an entire people. When he says this to her, she didn't burst into tears or walk away. Instead, she gave Jesus an answer that excited him. That's true. You're right. You're right, Lord. I admit I have no claim on you, but there must be some extra. There must be some extra grace. Surely there are some crumbs. Surely there is something lying around that even though I don't deserve it, if I could just get my hand on a few crumbs, that's what I'm appealing to you for. It's no wonder that Jesus replies to this lady saying, "Woman, your faith is great." It's no wonder that her daughter from that moment was made whole. It's because this woman possessed great faith. She won over her difficulties, over every obstacle, over every challenge that she faced. Can I tell you today that every obstacle, any opposition in your life, it can be conquered by faith. Can I be so bold on this Mother's Day 2022 to call women in this room back to faith? Bold, praying, desperate faith. Say, "Pastor Dale, I don't have that. I that's missing in me." No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not. I know the media highlights some outlier story, some crazy tale of something that a mother did or some woman did, but I'm going to tell you something. That's not the norm. Women I'm teaching before today, the ladies that are in this room, there is a fight in you. There is a resolve in you. There is a tenacity in you. There is a persistence in you. All you need is a new hanky. All you need is an altar. All you need is the presence of God. All you need is an opportunity to worship, to lift your hands and to reach toward the things of God. Mama, take your home back. Take your family back. Take your teenagers back. I'm waiting on him to lead. We'll get to him in a few weeks. But until then, pray, ask, believe, be a woman of great faith. Father, I pray for every lady in this room today. Every mom, every grandmother, every auntie, every cousin, every lady with a nurturing heart, mothering spirit, that they would rise to the challenge of this occasion. That their faith would be so ignited, that their heart would become so hungry, They're spirit and insatiable. Thirst for God things in their homes, in their families, in their church. Woman, you have great faith. You still have fight in you. Reach down beneath all of that anxiety, that overwhelmed sense of I can't take it one more day, and take one more day to get in the presence of the Lord and let Him declare the miracle that you desire. I pray it today in Jesus' name. I pray it today in Jesus' name. If I may be so bold, I didn't clear it with anybody, but I'd love for every lady in the room to stand. Every lady, would you just stand? I'm not going to ask you to do anything other than that. Just every lady. Stand. Just remain standing for just a moment. You're beautiful. Strong and amazing and incredible. Awesome. Now, men, would you give these ladies a hand today? Thank you, ladies, for making our lives so incredible. Such a blessing. Thank you. Thank you. I know this day is not easy for everyone. This day is a challenge for many, but you are a reason that we can smile and that we can feel the warmth of Jesus' love and kindness. And we thank you. Why don't everyone stand across the room today? Say it one time. So great.
It's your breath in our lungs.
Oh.
So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise.
It's your breath
in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise.
It's your breath
in our lungs.
So
we
pour out. Close this service without giving someone an opportunity to ignite your faith in Jesus. For someone to believe, for someone to say yes, for someone to put your faith in Him. How do I do that today? Is that just for women? Are you just talking to women? No, I'm talking to everybody in the room. Because all of us can have faith. All of us can be full of God even in this challenging season. What do I do? Pray with me. Let's pray together. Let's believe together. Let's stand together. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Just pray this. If you're needing faith in your life, if you're needing faith renewed in your life, if maybe you're coming to faith for the first time, just say, Jesus, I don't even know where my faith is, but everybody keeps telling me I have it. You gave it to me, the measure of faith. I want that measure to grow. I want that peace of faith to become stronger and stronger and stronger. So for that to happen, you must increase and I must decrease. You have to get bigger and I have to get smaller. Your will and your way has to become most important. And my will and my way is secondary to your plan. So today I repent of my sin. Today I reject the way of the world, the barriers of time and culture and pride and doubt. I repent for all the times I've allowed those things to be my reason, my excuse. Today I say yes. I say yes to crossing barriers. I say yes to persisting my way to a miracle. I say yes to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give Jesus praise today? Hallelujah. Listen, if you're in the room, if you're online, if you just prayed that with us today, we have a resource we want to put into your hand. Either side of the auditorium, if you're in the room, there's a physical copy. You can grab one of these. If you want it on your phone or on your device, text the word FOLLOW, FOLLOW, to 404-777-4701. That's coming on the screen right now. You can just text FOLLOW. If you're online, text FOLLOW to 404-777-4701. They'll send you a link. Fill that out. Make sure that we have your email address, because that's how this book is going to come to you. And we'll do that right after this service ends. Amen. God bless you today. We love you. Have a beautiful, wonderful day. Don't miss a photo opportunity. Don't miss a gift from pastors today in the lobby. Stop by there. Make sure we have the chance to greet you today.